Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
When you come to Joshua chapter 3, it's the story of Joshua leading the nation of Israel across the Jordan River. And you'll remember that the nation, God, 40 years earlier, had wanted them to go into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, but they didn't believe they could do it. And because they didn't believe they could do it, even though it was God's will for them to do it, it didn't happen. Which says something. I mean, don't ever just say, well, if God wants it to happen, it will happen. No, if you and I don't believe that God can bring about his will in our life, and we're not willing to step out in faith and have the courage of faith and have the strength to believe God, then even if it's will, if it's his will, it's not going to happen. So it's important for all of us to say, God, I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to step out in faith and believe you're going to give victory. Now, as we think about them crossing the Jordan River, there's three steps, and there could be, you could come up with many of your own, but I want to give you three specific things that when you look at the passage, you see. The first is this, just this sense of desperation that they would have. And by desperation, I mean an understanding of the impossibility of their circumstance and their situation. Let's look at it in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Joshua arose early in the morning, and they said, out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp. So they're at the Jordan for 3 days. Later, we learn this in verse 15. Now, the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest. So it's the time of harvest. They're there. The Jordan has overflowed its bank, what's typically a little creek at best, or a canal. It actually looks kind of like a canal today, probably was somewhat bigger in the time of Joshua. But in flood stage, it could be 200 feet across. So you have this river that's flooding, that has a force of current, and here's the nation of Israel, and they're camped right beside it, and God has them camped there for 3 days. And I think the reason why God did that is because God wanted them to understand and to grasp the impossibility of their situation. You know, there's some tonight, and you're facing a circumstance, and you're saying, it absolutely looks impossible, and that's not bad. Sometimes when our situation looks impossible, we're like, well, if I could just believe how God could do it. But what God wants us to get a hold of is that unless he helps us, it's not going to happen.
That's right. Yeah.
That when it happens, it's because he helped us. And so as they sat there for 3 days, the impossibility of crossing began to sink into their mind. You know, listen, faith does not ignore the facts. Faith looks at the facts, sizes up the facts, and then concluding there is nothing we can do in our own strength, faith believes God.
Good.
I love what Alan Redpath says. He writes this, most of us, God forgive us, are too big for God to use. We're too full of our own schemes and of our own way of doing things. The world speaks about the survival of the fittest, but God gives power to the faint, and he gives might to those who have no strength.
Amen.
So if you're at a place that you're needing the Lord to come through, you're in a really good place. God let them be there so that they could see the impossibility and gain a sense of dependence that says, God, unless you help me, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
that's good. It's the second phase or step. And this is, he takes them into a season, brief though it may be, of consecration. Look at it in verse 2. And the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it about 2,000 cubits in length. So that's about 5/8 of a mile. Do not come near it. in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. If we're going to see God do what God would like to do in our life, we have to prepare for him to do it. And I would suggest to you that preparation is as much an act of faith as stepping out is. That's saying, God, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get myself ready for what I'm believing you're going to do.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're saying, I want a mate, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get myself ready. I'm going to be the kind of person that somebody's going to want to marry and be strengthened by having in the home.
Yeah.
I'm going to get myself ready. I'm going to prepare for the thing I'm asking you to do. And I would suggest to you that the unprepared actually see over the course of their life much less in terms of God's divine working in their life than people who live in this attitude of anticipation that not only says, I believe God can do it, but I can't wait to see how he does it, and I'm preparing myself so when he does it, I'm ready. I'm believing God. My faith is real. My faith has given me substance. It's so important for us to prepare ourselves. And in their case, it's a matter of consecration, of setting aside time to seek the Lord. You know what? If you're going through a difficulty and a challenge, a good thing to do is to say, you know what? I'm going to pull back. I'm going to spend a day fasting, or I'm going to spend 2 days or 3 days, or I'm going to take extra time with the Lord. I'm going to adjust my schedule so that I have more time with the Lord to wait on God, to seek God, to listen to God's voice. Because really, that's what it's all about, is spending enough time in the presence of the Lord that we're more sensitive to his presence.
Yeah, that's good.
A.W. Tozer said this, commenting on the lives of great men and women, the great of the kingdom have been those who loved God more than others did. Now, honestly, that's just true.
Yeah.
God is no respecter of persons. What God does for one, he'd do for another. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. So you have to, I think it's such good news to know that God will do for you what he's done for somebody else, but fall in love with God. And anybody can fall in love with God. Anybody can.
Yeah.
The great of the kingdom have been those who loved God more than others did. I venture to suggest that the one vital quality which they had in common was spiritual receptivity. Something in them was open to heaven, something which urged them Godward. Without attempting anything like a profound analysis, I shall say simply that they had spiritual awareness and that they went on to cultivate it until it became the biggest thing in their lives. So really, what we're talking about here, the purpose of consecration is not saying, well, I'm going to fast so I can get what I want. The purpose of consecration is to say, I'm going to spend time with God so I can hear God better, so I can grow closer to God, not just for this, but for every other aspect of my life, because I just want to know the Lord. I just want to walk close to the Lord. I just want to be able to sense his prompting, his leading, his voice, his presence, his stirring in my heart. That's the purpose always of consecration. Now notice this in verse 3, it says this, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. What's the Ark? Well, the Ark is a box, essentially, that symbolized the presence of the Lord. It was 47 inches long, 27 inches wide, 27 inches high, and the priests would carry it, and it would rest in the most holy place in the tabernacle. So here's what God is saying. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, remember now, it's a half mile away. So it's not like it's just right up here in front of you, of their face. As soon as you see it, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. In other words, what this is saying is wherever the presence of God was leading, they should go. Now, here's what's interesting. The presence of God is leading to the bank of the Jordan River, and it's in flood stage. The presence of God is leading them in a direction that, humanly speaking, makes absolutely no sense. Sometimes we're late to follow, we're hesitant to follow, because we can't see what God's going to do. And it doesn't make sense to us that God could be leading that way, when in fact, the Lord is saying, it's not your job or my job to figure out how this is all going to turn out. Our job is simply to say, if that's where the presence of the Lord is leading, then that's where I'm going. Wherever he's leading, that's where I want to go. Just to be in his presence. And what's interesting as well to me when I read this is and look at this is when you think about their 40-year journey, how had they been led up to this point? This is kind of interesting to think about. Always had been a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. From the time they came out of Egypt, it had been a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. But that's not happening anymore. God's leading in a new way. Now it's not a pillar of fire or a cloud. Now it's today, in that moment for them, it's the ark. And that didn't continue on. In other words, God's presence leads us in the different seasons of life differently. And that's why we have to be sensitive, because it's not always going to be the same, though it'll be the same God. He may choose to manifest his presence and his working in our life in a different way. That's why we have to be able to really hear him, because you can't just rely on what worked yesterday, because he might be doing something new. In fact, he often is doing something new. Well, number three, a step of activation. So once we've gone through that season of consecration and we've had that sense of desperation, then there's a step that really activates the miraculous working of God in our life. Now look at it, verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, that's the Dead Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan. I mean, can you imagine that? I'm going to have some musicians to come. Can you imagine that? I mean, the priests, it's in flood stage. In order for the Jordan to part, they're going to have to get their feet wet. You know, sometimes people don't want to get their feet wet. Sometimes what people do is they want to play the game like this with God. You go first. But if you're waiting for God to go first, there's no faith in that. It requires no exercise of faith on your part. The priest had to step in the water. If we want to see God move, we need to make a move. And you know what? We need to, part of making the move is saying, God, I want what you want. I want what you've got anytime and every time. I just want what you got. I want whatever you have for me. I want it. And just take that move, make that move, and say, I believe your presence is going. There are some of you here tonight, and really, you're faced with an impossibility, and that's good. You need to really get a hold of God. You need to come into the altar and let God give you faith that he's able. You need to get a word from the Lord. You need to have God's strength in your heart that, hey, listen, it's okay to be in a desperate place because he's a God who does miraculous things for desperate people. And then there's some of you, and you really need to quiet your heart in the presence of the Lord. And maybe coming forward is going to be that step of saying, you know what, I'm gonna get along with God. And you're in the presence of the Lord, going to ask God, how do you want me? Instead of you and I deciding how we're going to consecrate ourselves, how about we hear from God and let God speak to our heart how he wants us to consecrate ourselves to him? You might be surprised what he says. He might have a way, something he wants you to do that would be really wonderful, be very different for you, be something you've not experienced before. You say, like what? Let him tell you. And then there's some, and you're going to need to be willing to step in and to say, I believe God's going to do something. And coming into the altar is part of that journey of saying, I believe God's going to do something. I believe if I step out, if I move, God's going to move. Yeah. Last week was a big week for me. And in 5 days, I'd preached 7 times and 9 times last week. And so it was a lot of preaching in addition to everything else. And I was doing the spiritual emphasis down at the National Assemblies of God headquarters. And so being me, I wanted to respect the clock, but I spoke and used up all my time. So I was being respectful and brought the plane in for landing, but I really wanted to see people get in the altar, but I didn't feel it was my place to extend the service. And so we got done. I prayed for the people, and one of the leaders there said, you know, I just really feel like we should come into the altar. We should spend time with the Lord. And I was happy to hear him say it. He said, so the altars are open. You know, I mean, it's just pretty much that. But hey, if they're going to open the altars, I'm going to be in the altar. That's just, Debbie and I are pretty much, that's how we're going to usually function, unless they say, you know, all you who are living in sin, come into the altar. I mean, then probably we're going to let others go first, but anyway, outside of an altar call that's like that, or, you know, all of you are going to lay down your needles or whatever, you know, and I mean, there's a place for an altar like that. I've given altar calls like that. So, hey, you know, there's a place for that. But if it's generic at all, or specific to our need, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. So this was last week. So Wednesday, I think it is, Wednesday morning, they opened that up. And one of the other executives down there, he and I just step forward and we go right into the altar. It's Greg Mundus. And I mean, I no sooner got in that altar. And it, the only thing I can explain it as is it was 4 steps, but it took me 1,000,000 miles. Because in that moment, it was like a spiritual lightning bolt hit me. It was really very unusual. A couple of the guys from church, a couple of the staff had just shown up to watch. And afterwards, about 20 minutes later, we were standing at the door getting ready to go our separate ways. And they're like, what in the world happened there? And they had tears in their eyes. I mean, because it was still. And I'm telling you, for the greater balance of the day, I felt like I had electricity running through me. It was just really, it was very, very unusual. Now, I wasn't thinking I needed that. I wasn't even thinking God would do that. I was only thinking, God, if there's an opportunity to be in your presence, I want whatever you want to do. I mean, I want to be there. And the God who knows what we need, even when we don't know what we need, meets us at our point of need, right? Just simply say that, I don't know what to do. I just know that he always does something. Most times not as dramatic as that. But that doesn't mean it isn't as meaningful as that. Who knows what it'll do? I just think it's important to spend time in His presence. And I don't know where you're at on this, on the journey that you're on, and how tonight's thoughts from Joshua chapter 3 strike you. But I do know this: God wants to meet with His people, and He wants to meet with you. And that's what the prayer meeting's about.